I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days and some lonely nights. But when I look around and I think things over, all of my good days outweigh my bad days, and I won't complain. Sometimes the clouds hang low, I can hardly see the road. But I ask the question, Lord, why so much pain? But He knows what's best for me more than these old weary eyes, they just can't see. So I'll just say, thank you, Lord, and I won't complain. God has been good to me, so very good to me. So I'll just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I won't complain. So good, so good, so good, so good to me. So I'll just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So good to me. So for the rest of my life, I'm just gonna say, thank you, Lord. You brought me such a mighty long way. You paid my bills. You dried my eyes. So I'll just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You've been so good, you've been so good. So for the rest of my life, I'll just say thank you,
keep giving God praise. Come on now. Don't you know that song got to be all of our testimony? That we can look back at where we were, where God has brought us from. We can look back at the things that God kept us through. Some of us need to be saying thank you, Lord, for the things God didn't let happen to us. Amen. Amen. Some of us can say not just what he did, it's what he didn't allow to happen to us. We can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. To God be the glory. Thank you, Brother James. Amen. Amen. Let us go to God in prayer. God, we do thank you that even when we don't act right, even when we don't even acknowledge you, you look past all of our foolishness. You look past all of our stubbornness. Lord, if I can just be raw and real, you look past our stank attitudes so many times towards you. And you bless us anyway. Yes, you deal with us when we're in sin. You punish us because you're a just and holy God. But Lord, somewhere in your word, it says that you don't stay angry long. And it also says you temper your anger with mercy. When you give us grace, Lord, you give us stuff that we don't deserve. But when you show us mercy, you withhold from us things we do deserve. The punishment we do deserve. But it's because you love us and you understand each one of us. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for looking past our faults and meeting our needs and loving us better than we could ever love you. Most of all, thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to become sin for all of us, that we might have the opportunity to be saved by putting our trust in you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let us thank the Lord again for Brother James Taylor. Pastor James Taylor. Amen. Amen. Giving honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, and certainly God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Trinity of Jehovah God, to the deacons, trustees, auxiliary heads, members of Roanoke Salem, to my brothers and sisters in ministry, always glad and thankful to the Lord where Reverend Dr. Pastor Lofton will come and sit among us and with us and bring her godly presence into our midst. And certainly to those of you who are visiting from near and far, we are blessed and honored to see you in the house of the Lord on this morning. I won't be before you long because this is already a long day, and it's just the way it is on Fourth Sunday. But anyway, I won't be before you long. I want you to turn quickly, if you will, two different passages of Scripture, both in the New Testament. First, go to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 21. And I'll be reading this from the New International Version. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. This is what it says. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And those of you who have the King James, you know, it says there, I will make thee to rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now turn really quickly, if you will, to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Verses 1 and 2. Romans 16, still in the New Testament, after the book of St. John, Acts and then Romans. St. John, Acts, and then Romans. Romans chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. This is Paul writing. Paul says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Sacrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and to give her any help she may need from you. For she has been a great help to many, including me. Church family, I'm going to put those two passages of scripture together. And just for a few minutes, I want to talk about Phoebe, a good and faithful servant. Phoebe, P-H-O-E-B-E, a good and faithful servant. Now, this morning, before you even came to church, some of us may have gone to a nearby Dollar General, Family Dollar. Some of us may have gone to a Shell or a Sheetz gas station. Somebody might have run into Food Lion this morning to buy some bacon or some eggs or something. Somebody might have decided, I don't feel like cooking, so I'm going to Cracker Barrel. Somebody didn't feel like sitting down at Cracker Barrel, so they said, I'm going to just run through McDonald's. Some of us may have needed some kind of medication or something of that nature, or just something that comes from a CVS or a Walgreens, and we went into there this morning. I'm talking about before we even came to church this morning. Somebody may have gone to Walmart because there was something there that you needed. Here's what I want us to understand. It doesn't matter if we have cars to take us where we want to go. It doesn't matter if we have enough money to purchase what we want to buy. If there were not good and faithful people working at these places, we couldn't get anything we need. You go to Walmart and nobody there to let you in or check you out or show you and tell you what. It don't do no good. You can get there, but if there's nobody there to give you that, a bacon, egg, and cheese from McDonald's, nobody there to serve you at Cracker Barrel, nobody there at Food Lion to ring up that milk, doesn't do you any good to have a car and money. If they're not good and faithful people in place, does us no good. I asked the Lord what to preach on this last Sunday here in May, our Women's Month. We recognize this as Women's Month, and he led me to this woman named Phoebe. Phoebe's only mentioned one time in the Bible. She's only mentioned one time in the Bible, and is here in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome in chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Paul tells the church folks in Rome that Phoebe is a servant of the church in Sacrea. The Amplified Bible says Phoebe was a deaconess. Amen. Keep that in mind. Some other versions, like the one I read from the NIV, they say she's a servant. He called her a servant. But the Amplified Bible said that Phoebe was a deaconess in her church. Paul asked the Roman saints to do two things. He says, number one, give Phoebe the honor that is due to her. Number two, he says, give Phoebe any kind of help that she asks for. Amen. That's the two things Paul asked these Roman saints to do when Phoebe got to their church. Now, let me tell you a little bit more about Phoebe. When I read in the Amplified that Phoebe was a deaconess, it was just easy for me to assume that she was the wife of a deacon. Because in Paul's letter to Timothy, he talks about, you know, deacons and deaconesses. So it was easy to assume that Phoebe was the wife of a male deacon in her church. But that's not necessarily true, and I'm going to tell you why. I have a book at home called the Reader's Digest of Who's Who in the Bible. And I look Phoebe up. And I found out that when Paul used that word deaconess to describe Phoebe, from the Greek translation, that word deaconess was not the word that means a female person. From the Greek, it's the same word that means a male person. Matter of fact, it's the exact same word that is translated for a deacon. And we assume that deacons are males. Okay, now keep that in mind. The Bible doesn't tell us if Phoebe ever did or if she ever had a husband. But here's what I do know. That in her church, Phoebe had the same duties and responsibilities as the men who were deacons. Because the word translated in Greek in Phoebe's case is not the female word for deaconess, it's the male word for deaconess. Now, they might have called her a deaconess, but she had the exact same duties and responsibilities as the men in her church who were called deacons. Amen. In this letter, Paul wanted to be as clear as he could that he expected the saints in Rome, men and women, to show Phoebe the same respect that they would show a male deacon and to fully cooperate with her. Paul tells the Roman saints that Phoebe has helped many people, including him. In other words, Phoebe had fulfilled her duties in a manner that identified her as being a good and faithful servant. Maybe it was Phoebe that Paul was thinking about in his letter to the Colossians. In Colossians 3 and 22, this is from the Amplified, it says, servants. Phoebe was a servant. She was a deaconess. A deacon is a servant. Amen. Servants obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not only when their eyes are on you as pleasers of men, but in simplicity of purpose. In other words, with all your heart, because of your reverence for the Lord and as a sincere expression of your devotion to him. Now, there were slaves back in the day. And if you read this in some other translations, instead of servants, it'll say slaves obey your masters. Now, there really were actual slaves. There were those who were slaves because they were forced to be slaves. Then there were those who were indentured servants. But in this case, servants, that same thought of doing everything you do to please the Lord, that applies to us in the church, too, because we're all servants of the Most High God, too. I know sometimes it's easy to forget, but every one of us, regardless of having a position or not, a title or not, we are all servants of the Most High God. Other Bible translations, like I told you, use that of Colossians 3 and 22, use that word slave instead of servants. But in Phoebe's case, servant is the best translation because she is not a slave to anybody. But she chose to serve the Lord and to obey the spiritual authority over her. Amen. She chose to obey the spiritual authority of her pastor in her home church. And she chose to obey the spiritual authority of Paul. Paul and the pastor of that church evidently had to have had a good relationship because the pastor is the one who had the authority in the church. But all the saints at this time had begun to recognize that Paul was handpicked by God himself to evangelize the world. So Paul was revered. Paul was a celebrity. Paul was a tele-evangelist type preacher. He had been hated at first now because, of course, people remember when he was Saul. They remember how he rode then. But after a while, people really understood and they could see by demonstration that Paul was serious and that he was sincere. So wherever Paul went, for the most part, the church folk, for the most part, they welcomed him and they did all they could to be supportive of him. Phoebe had proven that she was committed to supporting the Lord's work in and out of her local church. Of all the deacon servants that Paul could have asked, he trusted Phoebe to carry his letter from Corinth, which is where he was, to Rome. We only see her name this one time, but Phoebe is an outstanding example to all the body of Christ. And Phoebe's example raises an important question for the rest of us today. Are we being good and faithful servants of Jesus Christ? It's something we all need to think about, because one day we will have to give an account to Jesus of our lives. And let me say to every one of us, from time to time, we have some challenges, we have some difficulties, we have some problems that might stop us from coming to church regularly. Amen, that happens. Or maybe we can't serve in a ministry or the way we'd like to. Amen. All of us can have those kind of challenges. But I'm talking about when you can do and you just won't do. When you just don't come to church just because you don't want to come. You don't want to get involved in anything at church. You don't want to serve in any way. The point of this sermon, and let me be very quickly to say this, the point of this sermon is not to make anybody feel bad or guilty. No. This sermon is a reminder that Jesus expects us to be good and faithful servants to him. Amen. Inside and outside of the church. Now, we know every Christian's number one job is to help unbelievers decide to accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. That's the number one job of all of us who are Christians. That's the number one work assignment for all of us who are servants of the Most High God, to help unsaved folks come to know Jesus as their Savior. That's why Matthew 28, 19 and 20 is the vision of Roanoke Salem and so many other churches throughout the country. Amen. A lot of churches have Matthew 28, 19, 20 as their vision. Go thee, therefore, and make disciples, and we know the rest. Every day as we move about anywhere, we are evangelizing for Jesus by how we live. That's why it kind of, I won't say it upsets me, but it kind of bothers me when people start talking about, I won't go into that. Let me just leave it like this. Regardless of whatever I say, whatever you say, what folk who are unsaved, they watching how we live Jesus. Some of them don't care nothing about how we talk Jesus. Some of them know the Bible better than we do. They know it as well as we do. But they're looking at how do we live Jesus. You know, what is it about us that distinguishes us from those by how we live? But so that's our number one job, and that's outside of the church, can be outside of the church primarily. But there's also work to do inside the church. Amen. Jesus expects us to be good and faithful servants as we provide financial support to the church and we get involved in the ministries of the church. Amen. Now, I know a lot of folks don't like for pastors, ministers, to say anything about this, but if you are a church member, you have a divine obligation to support that church financially. Amen. Amen. I ain't lying. Is the back door open? Joshua, go upstairs, get my keys, and cut the car on so I can run out of here when this is over, because I think I'm going to have to run today. Amen now. Amen. At Roanoke Salem, we believe in tithing or giving 10% or whatever your income is. That's from Malachi, I think it's the third chapter, and then verses 8, 9, and 10. But let me be clear. Tithing is not a requirement to be a member of Roanoke Salem. No, ma'am, no, sir. And if anybody ever tells you, you heard that, they are not telling the truth. Tithing is not a requirement. Roanoke Salem will always gladly accept whatever you choose to give. That's why we repeat 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7 before we give every Sunday. You know, whatever you choose to give. So the Bible says, so let him or her give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And just as a kind of an aside, in my research on Phoebe, I found out that she was probably a good and faithful supporter of Paul's evangelistic work and of her church financially as well. The people who had done some research said that there's evidence to suggest that she may have been a good financial supporter of his ministry and of her church. So now with that in mind, let me share some examples of how we can be good and faithful church members. Amen. When there's a church event, whatever it may be, ministry meeting, conference meeting, Bible study, Sunday school, anything to do with our children. When we have church events here at Roanoke Salem Amen now. What we should do is we should be here if possible. Amen. When we have any kind of event at Roanoke Salem, if you are a Roanoke Salem member, be here if possible. Amen. No, you can't make them all. No, things come up and you won't always be. We understand that. I understand. I can't make them all. But when possible, we should be here. And if you can't be here, please contact somebody. Just give somebody a call, myself, a ministry leader, or somebody, to say you can't come. You don't owe anybody any explanation. You don't owe anybody any explanation. It's just simply, I can't be there. See you next time, praying for you. If there's something I need to know, tell me when I call you back, that kind of thing. Don't know, you don't owe anybody any explanation, but just because we're going to be looking for you. Amen. You know, when we have church events, we look for our members to be at those events. Here are some of the ways that we can be faithful in our church work. If there's work that needs to be done, we should ask, how can we help? Now, I believe in honoring our senior citizens. So those of us who are younger and more able-bodied, we should step up more and do whatever is needed to be done, especially manual labor, physical labor. But let me say this really quickly. The senior citizen at Roanoke Salem, they roll. A whole lot of the stuff that gets done around here, it's senior citizens doing it. I mean, folks 70, 75, 80 plus. So to God be the glory. I'm not trying to put our senior citizens in any kind of box, because our senior citizens around here do a whole lot of stuff to get done. You know, so but that's what we should do. We should do that. And, you know, so if there's something, you come to an event, just ask somebody, is there something I can do? They said, no, we got, that's fine. But at least come and be willing. Because remember now, Colossians 3 and 24 says that it's of the Lord that we're going to be rewarded. See, whether, and you know, and I understand we like to be, I do too, we like to be recognized for our, but if the pastor, if the deacons, if nobody ever calls your name out publicly, if you did what you did because you did it as unto the Lord, God has got your name in his book of life. And there is a special type of recognition that you will get. If you don't, and I promise you, most of the time you're going to get it on this side. But even if you don't get it on this side, it's going to be better on when you get on the other side. Amen. Amen. Let me keep moving on. Now, that's how we can be faithful. Let me tell you how we can be good in our church work. Whenever we come to church, please try to come. Please try to come with a positive and a cooperative attitude. Amen. Even when we know, and sometimes we know in advance, that there's going to be some difficult issue that we may need to discuss, as a church family, as deacons, as trustees, whoever it is, we can agree to not be disagreeable. Amen. Now, we can have our minds made up on that before we walk through the door. We can agree to not be disagreeable. That's being good, good and faithful. And having a good attitude towards each other is pleasing to God. How do I know that? Because Psalm 133, verse 1 says, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. When God sees us getting along like we're supposed to, that just makes him so happy. That just brings joy to his heart that his children are reflecting him among each other. We have many good and faithful servants at Roanoke Salem right now. Amen. Have many good and faithful servants right now. And I ain't going to begin to try to call no names, because I'll forget somebody, and I'm really not trying to offend anybody. But I will say this. Most of us know who they are. Amen. Most of us know who they are. Most importantly, God knows who they are. Amen. These are the folks who show up for most church events with good attitudes. They do whatever they can to be helpful. Most of them, most of the time, they're volunteering their time. They're volunteering their talents. And they are faithful financial supporters of the church. Amen. They don't mind doing what they need to do. And they don't try to undermine the pastor's authority. Amen. Somebody didn't expect me to say that, but I'm going to say it. They don't try to undermine the pastor. Understanding that you have a pastor that's just as flawed as any of you, got just as much mess as any of you, But as the Lord so happened at this point in time, he happened to make me the pastor. And I appreciate folk who can say, Pastor, you know, I pray for you, Pastor, I understand. Pastor, look, you know, I understand you get tired too. Let me see what I can do to take a little load off your plate. Thank God for the deacons of Roanoke-Salem. I say that publicly. Thank God for the deacons of Roanoke-Salem. Thank God for our trustees. Thank God for our church family. We are the church family. And I said this before, I'm not saying anything, visitors that Roanoke-Salem members have not heard me say many times from this very pulpit. I thank God to be the pastor of a church. Well, regardless of whatever may be going on, when something needs to get done, we pull together. We pull together from the youngest to the oldest. And we get done whatever we need to get done. To God be the glory. We could be having knockdown, drag out battles in here, which thank God we haven't had. But even if we did, folk on the outside wouldn't know it. Well, that's a lie, because some of y'all would tell it. I'm sorry, Lord. I lied in church, because yeah, they would know, because some of us would tell it. But I thank God we have the kind of church family that when we need to get something done, we pull together and we do it. So I say to my church family, my brothers and sisters in Christ, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm closing by sharing three ways God rewards good and faithful servants. And look at the life of Phoebe as the example. Number one, he promotes us. Phoebe, by being good and faithful, some kind of way or another, God decided to promote her to the position of having the same authority or the same responsibilities and duties as the deacons in her church. Yeah, she was a deaconess, but she had the same responsibility and the same authority as the deacons in her church. You can be promoted. It doesn't have to be in your church. Could be in your group. Could be in your family. When it comes to the point, here's how you get promoted. When you find out that people trust your judgment, people look to you to be the voice of reason. That's promotion, because that's influence. Only God can give you that influence. See, when the person that's in charge comes to you and say, what do you think? I want y'all to know there are very few things that I bring before the church family. And matter of fact, I can't really think of anything that I don't at least have a conversation with Deacon Osby first. Amen. And it's not that I have to have Deacon Osby's approval, but I want Deacon Osby's support. And if Nate says to me, well, Pastor, this is what I think, and he doesn't think what I'm thinking is online, Pastor, you might better want to rethink that. Or he'll say, well, now, why don't you wait on what? Most of the time, that's exactly what I do, because I trust his judgment. Amen. Same thing with the deacons. I come to the deacons because I trust the wisdom that God has put on the deacon board at Roanoke, and the talent across all kinds of areas. We got deacons that know some of everything about some of everything. So I thank God for them, and I thank God that I have the opportunity to serve with them. Amen. So being good and faithful, God promotes you. Number two, he makes people honor us. Paul told those saints in Rome, you show Phoebe the exact same respect and honor that you would anybody else that comes with this title. People will honor you. And here's how people honor you. People honor you by recognizing what you do. May not be that they give you a special service, but folk will come up to you every once in a while and say, you know what, I appreciate you. Thank you. Even if it's just one person, Evelyn. That's from God. Because see, there's a lot of folk that owe you thanks, not going to give you thanks. Because they're too jealous and envious. They're too stuck up. But the Lord will let somebody, sometimes he'll send several people. You know, just be surprised. Sometimes you'll get a call out of the blue. Sometimes you'll get a text out of the blue. And somebody will just say, I was just thinking about you. Just prayed for you today. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your being so kind, whatever it may be. So God will honor you when you're good and faithful. He makes people honor you. Here's the final thing. He gives us favor with people. When we're good and faithful, God gives us favor. What's favor? That's when folk come up to you and do stuff for you, and you ain't asking them to do a thing. Sometimes complete strangers. I told the church family before, right after Bible Sunday school this morning, how a tree fell down in our yard, and I'm not going to go through all that. But what I didn't tell them is I had two neighbors that live on our street. One lives to the right of us. One lives to the left of us. Those neighbors, these two different men, came up to me, came from their houses and said, "Man, what's going on? What happened? Y'all look at you. Look, man, I got my chainsaw. I'll go to my house and get it right now. Come cut everything up in your yard. Just tell me. You want me to come on right now?" I said, "No," because I had already called somebody at that point. "Well, no, man, don't worry about it. Look, just tell me what you, look, I'll come down and help whoever you got." Now, they didn't have to do that. I didn't go ask them to help me. One guy was passing by. He was going home. He lives on our street. He stopped because I was standing right there by the road. He said, "Edwin, you okay?" I said, "Yeah, we're all okay." He said, "Man, I got four chainsaws. I'll go home and get them right now. Amen. Bring them all back down here." He said, "Come on, we'll get it done in just a little bit." I said, "No, Gary, we good. Thank you." Then the other guy's name is Johnny. He came up the street. He said, "Man, I didn't know what happened, but I see you. I'll go home and get my chainsaw right now. I'll go get it. Come cut every tree in your yard right now if you want me to." That's favor. That's favor. And it ain't nothing special about me. God do the same thing for you when you're good and faithful to him. So three ways God rewards us for being good and faithful. He promotes us, he makes people honor us, and he gives us favor. God's best reward is yet to come. Remember what it said in Matthew 25, verse 21. He said, "The master said to that servant, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Supporting the church financially. Showing up when there are church events. Having a good attitude. Being willing to do whatever you can do to support the work of the church. You've been faithful over a few things. Forgiving your brothers and sisters when they forgive you. Showing somebody grace and mercy when they need grace and mercy. Praying for somebody. Not being selfish. Praying for somebody else sometimes. Not having the kind of attitude that has all got to be about me. You've been faithful over a few things. Going in your pocket and giving somebody $5 because they might need $5. Well, they might take that $5 and go buy some liquor. They might, but that ain't why you gave it to them. You gave it to them because they said they needed some help. What they do with it is between them and the Lord. But God puts you in a position to see what would you do. They said they were hungry. You've been faithful over a few things. You could have said something ugly and mean-spirited back to somebody that said something ugly about you, but you didn't do it. You prayed for them. You've been faithful over a few things. Now I'm going to make you a ruler over many things. Come on and enjoy the joy of your Lord. Amen. If we keep our faith in Jesus, he will encourage us and give us strength to be good and faithful servants. Phoebe is a good example. Jesus is the best example. Don't you know that Jesus is the best of the good and faithful servants that ever lived? He had to be. You think about what he did. Jesus came into this world, left glory in heaven, all the riches, ruling everything, people praising his name day and night. Amen. But because we were in sin, and because he and his Father loved us so much, the Father says, "Somebody's going to have to shed some blood to redeem them to me." Jesus said, "I'll go do it." So he came down through 42 generations, wrapped up in a human body with all its flaws. You know, when Jesus was a baby, he probably got some colds too. When Jesus was a baby, he probably got strep throat too. When Jesus was a young boy, because he was different, he probably got picked on too. Everybody knew that Jesus' daddy, the man he was living with, wasn't his biological daddy. He probably got bullied too. But all that he endured because his Father had sent him on a mission. He wanted to be a good and faithful servant. What did he do? He went around healing the sick and raising the dead. And a lot of people cursed him to his face. People lied on Jesus. People called him everything but what he was, the Son of God. But because he was a good and faithful servant, he stayed focused on his singular mission, which was to redeem our souls. What else did he do? He found himself on the very day before he was to go up on that cross, and he was wrestling within himself. the flesh in him, the man part of him said, Father, if there's any way possible, take this cup and let it pass. I mean, in other words, Father, if I don't have to go up on that cross, if there's any other way to do this that I don't have to die and go up on that cross, take that away from me. Yeah. But then the Holy Spirit man inside of him said, Father, no, not my will, but your will be done, because he was a good and faithful servant. Yeah. So he let them take him out of that garden, the Roman soldiers, and he let them take him to Pilate's judgment hall. And he stood there as they lied on him, and he let those soldiers slap him in his face and spit in his face. And they said they even pulled the beard out of his face. He let them put a crown of thorns on his head, and blood came down. He did all that because he was a good and faithful servant. Not only that, he let them take him outside and beat him so badly you could literally see the ribs in his back. That cat of nine whip that they used, it had glass and metal on it. Every time they hit Jesus across his back just opened up. Blood everywhere, skin falling everywhere. But he took it all because he was a good and faithful servant. And he let them make him carry his own cross. That won't no lightweight cross, probably about 250 to 300 pounds, some people estimate. But he carried it up Golgotha's rugged hill. Why? Because he was a good and faithful servant. He let them nail him in his hands. He let them nail him in his feet. They hung him high and stretched him wide. He let them pierce him in his side because he was a good and faithful servant. Because the Bible says that anytime he wanted to, he could have stopped it all. Could have called 10,000 legions of angels. Could have come and taken him off that cross and killed everybody that Jesus said kill him. But he didn't do it because he was thinking about you and me. And he was a good and faithful servant. He let them put him in a borrowed tomb. Stayed there all the rest of Friday and all Friday night. All day Saturday. But the Bible says there early on Sunday morning, Jesus, that good and faithful servant, got up with all power. Entrusted in his hands. His father gave him all power because he was a good and faithful servant. Not for his own sake, because of us. We owe Jesus everything. You may not think so. You may not recognize it. But we owe it to Jesus to do our best to be good and faithful servants. Because he was good. And he was faithful. All of us can go to heaven when we die if we'll put our trust in him. Give God some glory. Thank you, Lord. Think about it. Just think about it over the next several days. The Lord allows us to live.